Well, good morning. It's great to be here. I've always loved coming to Grand Rapids in the spring or summer. We left balmy, warm, not warm, but pleasant weather in the Dallas area, in Denton. But we love coming. Linda likes the snow and cold weather a little better than I do. So anyway, love being back here. So let's pray, and we will just jump in here together. Our blessed Father, Lord Jesus, we do ask you in prayer to do what we have just sung. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Lead us into the green pastures of the fresh, encouraging, quickening truths of your word as we think about these important topics today. We ask you to help us to redeem these hours together, that they would be profitable for time and for eternity, for the glory of Christ, for the building up of your church, for the shepherding of the flock, for the building up of the saints, and to the end of the advancement of the gospel and the building of the kingdom of God in the earth. Thank you, Father, this time is yours. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I would ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a very important subject today I'm going to address in these three sessions. It's not only important to church leaders, to elders, but also to the sheep. I'm going to speak this morning on the spiritual care of the flock by their shepherds in the assembly of the saints. Now, it's just as important for the sheep to know these truths in one sense, because the sheep need to know who their shepherds are. I mean, 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'll go ahead and read it, 5, 12, and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13, Paul said, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves." We'll come back to that text later. But what's implied here is, how can you know those who are over you and labor among you and admonish you if those men don't know that they are called to do that work? How can you know them and esteem them if you can't even recognize who those shepherds are? So it's pretty clear in Scripture, the spiritual care of the flock by their shepherds in the assembly. Matt Waymire writes four things that an elder or any church leader must be. This is just a brief statement, so I'm going to unpack these briefly by way of introduction. Four things an elder or any church leader must be. Number one, a faithful example of godliness. A faithful example of godliness. An elder or a deacon's or a church leader's life, in fact, a godly woman, a Christian woman's life, first and foremost has to be an example of godliness if we're going to have any ministry to other people at all. A faithful example of godliness. Number two, a faithful student of Scripture all his days. A faithful student of Scriptures, of the Scriptures all his days. Third thing an elder or church leader must be, a faithful preacher or teacher of the Word of God. And number four, a faithful shepherd of the flock of God. Now you just answer this question in your own mind. There's not necessarily a right or wrong answer, but I have an answer in my mind. Ultimately, in a local body of believers, a local assembly, what would perhaps be more important, if an elder is just a great preacher or a great shepherd? What do you think? I see the answer being whispered toward me. What do y'all think? Anybody?
Shepherd.
A lot of great preachers around, and that's great. But if an elder is a great preacher, but he doesn't have a heart to be a shepherd, his ministry is cut short. But if a man is a great shepherd, then that's going to reach the hearts of the sheep week in and week out. So think on those briefly with me here. Number one, a faithful example of godliness. A faithful elder must be above reproach in his character. A consistent model of godliness for the people he is shepherding. If the flock cannot look to him as an example of spiritual maturity, then he is unfit for the office. A man who preaches one thing and lives another is a walking contradiction. If he's not an example of godliness, then he cannot be trusted spiritually, and he will not be followed. It doesn't matter how well a man can preach or teach. If the sheep see a man who's not living the life portrayed in Scripture, then they will not follow him. They won't respect him. The requirement is not perfection, but a shepherd must be a man whose life is worth imitating, whether from his faithfulness as a husband and father to the fruit of the Holy Spirit in his life. He must be a model of spiritual consistency and character. And if the pastor is not a trustworthy example of godliness, nothing else will really matter. He won't last in the ministry very long. Secondly, an elder must be a faithful student of Scripture all his days. Now, an elder, a leader in the church, is a man under authority, absolute authority. And what is that authority? Anybody want to toss out an answer?
God's word.
The lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Word of God. Both of those go together. They're joined inseparably together. That authority is the Lord Jesus and the Word of God. So as an elder or a teacher in the church, that man must humbly recognize that the Scriptures are the perfect revelation of the truth of God to the sheep of God. And therefore, the Scriptures are all sufficient for authority in all of life and ministry. So we as leaders, we must have a spirit of humility as we open this book week in and week out to read it devotionally, to study it diligently, that we might feed the sheep. Humility compels us to bow before the Word of God as we study it and prepare it in order that we might faithfully open the Scriptures to the sheep. A diligent study is not easy. We must labor in season and out, when you feel like it, when you don't, when you're inspired, when you don't. If it's your turn to step up to feed the sheep, we have to do that well, faithfully, week after week. So, third thing, a faithful preacher of the Word. A faithful preacher and teacher of the Word. The sheep do not need to hear our opinions, however wise we may think they are. They need the shepherd's food. And in an increasing age of ear-tickling pulpits and preachers and passing fads, few things are as critical as an unwavering commitment to preach the Word of God truthfully and accurately. And this is an elder's calling in the assembly of the saints. Fourth thing and final thing, we must be a faithful shepherd of the flock, because elders and leaders are both preachers and teachers and shepherds. And so it's this last one I'm speaking on in these three sessions today. Elders shepherding the flock of God in pastoral ministry. Now, you know what? The word pastor in the New Testament is not a noun. We aren't pastors as a noun. That's not an office. That's a verb. Pastoring or shepherding is what elders are to do. The people of God, true Christians, need quality spiritual care one-on-one and not just preaching and teaching. One of my friends' name is Paul Washer, and we've worked together in Eastern Europe over the years, and some of the Christians that I help pastor, their favorite preacher is Paul Washer. If you've ever heard him, maybe you know why, but I tease him and I say, you know what? Is Paul Washer going to come and do your funeral when you die? Is Paul Washer going to be here to sit by your bedside in the hospital when you're sick and dying? They grin and they know that's not the case. And I say, just remember, there are many great preachers, but you have shepherds, plural, that care for your soul. And so, the spiritual care and pastoral care of the flock. Sheep need shepherds. And they always have. If you're a Christian here today, you know, if you know the scriptures, that you need true shepherds. Shepherds need shepherds. We have five elders in our assembly in Denton, Texas, and we are a team. There's no senior pastor. We're an equal team. I'm the oldest among them, but I have no more authority than the other four. And we shepherd each other. A few years ago, there was a flood in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and one of my dear friends is one of the elders in a Bible church there, and his house in a certain neighborhood, all the houses in this neighborhood, there was 8 feet of water in every house, and every house had to be gutted. And so we have a team of deacons and men who are kind of a relief team. They'll travel when they're needed to go do relief stuff. And so they were putting together a team to go to Baton Rouge. And this elder's house was one of the houses they were going to help with. It was summertime. And so I said, I don't know if I said it to Linda, but I thought, okay, I love Mark LaCour. We've been friends since the 80s. I'm going to go and help with the relief. Well, my other four co-elders heard me say this, and one of them looked at me and said, no, you're not. I said, why? We said, well, you've had two open heart surgeries. It's July down in Baton Rouge. You would fall over and we'd have to come and see you in the hospital or come and get your body to bring you home. So no, you're not going to help with the relief. I said, I submit. So shepherds, elders are to shepherd one another. But this implies humility. It implies approachability. It implies submitting to one another in the fear of God. But the people of God especially need shepherds that care for the flock. At the heart of any healthy local church assembly are qualified, quality spiritual leaders, both elders and deacons. Now, in biblical times, in the olden times, in past centuries, sometimes one shepherd was able to care for a flock, if it was a small flock. But if the flock grows larger, one shepherd was not enough. Numerous shepherds were needed for larger flocks. Well, in the New Testament, spiritually speaking, every flock needs more than one shepherd, because one man cannot, in any assembly, carry out the full work of the shepherding needs of the saints among them. For a church body to be biblical and spiritually stable, there must be godly, loving, and true shepherds of the flock who fulfill the responsibilities of true pastoring and caring for the flock. And those who truly know the scriptures know that the Lord has appointed in his local assemblies those who feed and lead the flock of God. They are the shepherds, overseers, and elders of Christ's church, as outlined in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. You know, the word elder in the New Testament is used in the plural form, normally, elders, because the New Testament teaches a plurality of leadership in any local church body. So this morning, I'm really addressing men in the local leadership of the saints in your own local church situations. So as we start this, let's set the greater context for this biblically, theologically. In this first session, we're going to begin just by remembering that there is one great shepherd of the sheep, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we as men are under shepherds, under the great shepherd of the sheep. And he is the model of shepherding the flock. So I'm going to speak first on Christ as the model shepherd. And I'm just going to come by way of remembrance. You know these things, brethren, but they ought to stay fresh in our life, because we ought to treasure our shepherds. We need to treasure and love the sheep. We need to treasure the fact that Christ has brought us as sheep into one of his local assemblies. And the church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. But the foundation, built upon the foundation, is local church life led by qualified men, and those men being followed biblically by sheep that are willing to be shepherded. So Christ is the model shepherd of his people. Now, you know, the Old Testament prophets, you know this, spoke about one who would be coming in the future centuries, who was would be a perfect shepherd. And this is found throughout all Old Covenant typology. David, for instance, David the shepherd king, this pattern of shepherd sheep was in the reign of David and his dynasty especially. The Lord took David from where? Scripture directly says the Lord took him from shepherding the sheep and made him the shepherd of Israel, 2 Samuel chapter 5. And of course, this typified the Lord Jesus in his coming in the New Testament as the great shepherd. The psalmist declares in Psalm 78, he chose David and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So just as David tenderly nurtured the sheep under his care, in his primary position as king later, he led Israel responsibly and compassionately, shepherding them in integrity and wisdom. So there's David. Yet ultimately in the Old Testament with his people, who was the true shepherd of Israel? The Lord God, Jehovah, as Israel confessed in Psalm 95. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Jeremiah 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. a few more of these about the Lord God being the shepherd of his people. Ezekiel 34, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those that are with young. And I love the prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 4. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And that's a messianic prophecy about the coming one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Christ is set forth typically in the Old Testament as the great shepherd of his flock. And then the New Testament reveals, doesn't it, from the beginning that he was that as Christ's ministry unfolds in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Brothers, as elders or leaders of the flock, when we see the saints, when we see the sheep, we must always have a heart of compassion toward them. John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. 1 Peter 2, for you were going astray like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, that doxology. Now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. And I love the one in Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water and will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So it's good to be reminded that Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And therefore, he is both the model for and the Lord of the establishment of all under-shepherds within his church on earth and all true local assemblies. Christ himself, the head of the church, establishes biblical leadership. Now, first, he did that historically with the apostles, didn't he? And then secondly, throughout church history, in every true local church with pastors, teachers, evangelists, etc., mentioned in Ephesians 4. Clearly in Paul's, in the Apostle Paul's conception of local church leadership was a plurality of elders in each church, as stated to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, with all the elders being given spiritual oversight and not just one man. We know there are two ministry offices in the church, elders and deacons, as seen in 1 Timothy and Titus. Now, it seems to be clear that in the New Testament, regarding elders within a congregation, they should have equal authority among themselves in ruling and leading and governing and shepherding. But they differ, don't they, in spiritual gifts and motivations. One is able to prophesy, that means he can truly preach, well, proclaim, exhort with authority. Others have a gift of teaching, others taking oversight. So equal in authority, differing in spiritual gifting. Equal in position, differing in spiritual motivation. So let's shift from thinking about the Lord Jesus as the shepherd to admonitions that elders have in shepherding the flock of God. God says through Jeremiah, I will give you shepherds, plural, after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of God. Notice the wording. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of God, in which the Holy Spirit has made you what? Overseers. To care for, to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So, when the Lord makes a man in a local assembly established as a elder, as a teacher, as a leader, and no man can do that with himself. The scripture doesn't say a man makes room for his gifts. It says a man's gifts will make room for him. And God will set him in the midst of the people that he's to labor among. When God does this and he makes you an overseer, it is the most significant, serious, eternally consequential thing that can be in that man's life ever, second only to being a husband and a father. What is at stake is the souls of the children of God, their spiritual welfare. And we know scripture says we will give a higher account. We will give an account for the souls that have been under our care directly. We will give an account. Peter exhorted the elders, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you to do, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over them or lording it over them. In Hebrews 13, to the sheep, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. That's what a shepherd does at heart. Week in and week out, month after month, year after year, his heart is keeping watch over the sheep that are under their care. Keeping watching out for their souls, being a watchman, being a spiritual father, being a spiritual big brother, being a spiritual loving uncle, being a spiritual neighbor, you're watching out, making sure they're okay. And they often don't even know you're doing that. Because you're watching from the heart. You're watching with a ready mind. You're actively loving the sheep, and you're going to do whatever you have to do, as much as lies in you, to protect the sheep. I heard John MacArthur tell a story one time, and I think by this time his church had a lot of people in it. But years ago, there was a new young couple who had come to Christ and was in his church. And the young couple came to one of the pastors, as I remember the story, and said, you know, these people called the Jehovah's Witnesses, they keep coming around and we don't know how to answer them, and it's confusing us, and we don't know what to do. So they gave him counsel, and so weeks later, John MacArthur's in his office, and one of his pastors comes in and says, you know, the young couple, John and Beth, I just found out those Jehovah's Witnesses are on their way to their house again. So MacArthur gets up, and he and that pastor drive over there, intervene, and they run off the Jehovah's Witnesses. Caring for the sheep individually. He stopped in the moment, as busy as he might have been, as well known as he might have been, even if by then maybe he had 1,500 in the congregation, one-on-one shepherding is involved to at times intervene and do what you have to do. I can pause. So, think of this, brethren. if Christ loved the church and died for her, nothing is more important in the earth to him than his flock, the people of God, believers, Christians that are under our care. And it is vital for us as leaders. It is incumbent upon us as leaders to see this biblically. But Jesus said, he said, blessed are you if you what? Keep these commandments. Blessed are you if you do them. It's incumbent on us as elders to see this biblically right and then function biblically and obey the divine directives given for pastoral ministry. And in the second and third message, we're going to get into the practicals. What are the duties of elders biblically? And also, by the way, if you're just a sheep among us, you're not getting off the hook this morning. Because we're going to, in the third message, we're going to talk about what are the responsibilities of the sheep toward the elders, toward those who shepherd them. Isn't it wonderful? And isn't it gracious that God, in his wisdom, has established true care of the sheep in a local assembly? We're not to be lone rangers as a Christian. Some of you aren't old enough to get this illustration, but some of you will. We're not to be lone rangers. You know, even he had Tonto, right? He had a sidekick. He was always riding with. The Lone Ranger and Tonto, they even needed one another. And every Christian, no Christian can be a lone ranger. Spiritually, you won't survive in this wicked world if you do. We need the church of God. We need the local assembly. We need the saints to be built up. But sheep also need shepherds teaching, feeding, preaching, shepherding them, rebuking them at times when they need it. Maybe you've been a Christian 50 years or longer. I don't know. Have you ever been corrected by a brother, rightly or wrongly, and you really needed it? I have. We need one another. And we need to walk in humility with one another. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us this? And this responsibility for elders is serious, and it must be taken very seriously by both elders and deacons and every believer within a local church. If our churches and our assemblies are to be built up and be healthy spiritually. So we'll get to these things more later this morning. In a moment, we're going to take a break. I'm going to pray in a moment. But is it all right if I just open it up for questions? So I'll do that at the end of each session. But anybody have a question or a comment?
You repeatedly use the expression elders and shepherds. Would you explain why you use those so many times?
Okay, good question. Elders, the term elders is the term of the office that Christ has established. Paul said to Titus, see that you ordain elders in every city. Elders is an office in the church of leadership. And elders are to do these things. They are to shepherd. Peter said it in 1 Peter 5. I, Peter, an elder, and I exhort you other elders, to shepherd the flock of God. So shepherding is an action of pastoring and caring for. And so Jesus was called a shepherd, and we are really, biblically speaking, spiritually speaking, under shepherds, under his shepherding work in the church. So as an elder, we're to do the work of a shepherd. Is that sufficient? Any others?
It just might be that he's suggesting, like we talked about, pastor is not so much a noun, or maybe never a noun in the New Testament. It's not wrong to do that with words, to take a noun and make them into, or a verb and make them into a noun, but you're right, it's important to emphasize that it's an action, and that's
good.
Is that what was your thought maybe a little bit, John, or you just wanted to get clarification?
Well, it seemed like he was using the word shepherd and elder as two different groups.
Oh, okay. Instead of one and the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are one and the same. Right.
In other words, you have to be a shepherd to be an elder. Do you have to be an elder to be a shepherd?
Great question. If you're an elder, you have to be a shepherd. If you don't shepherd, you won't fulfill the responsibility. But you don't have to be an elder to be a shepherd. In fact, elders that God is raising up, the Holy Spirit will be making them shepherds. They'll have a shepherding heart. They'll have a heart that cares for the sheep. And they'll begin to kind of do the work. All of us, in one broad sense, should shepherd one another, right? Spiritually care for one another. And so that's a very good point. We all should have hearts of shepherding one another. So you can have a heart to shepherd other Christians, and you should. And you might not ever be an elder. Great point.
I just want to highlight, you quoted that verse from Acts, I think 20, where Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. And those three things that stood out to me this time when you were talking is that the value of the sheep, the importance of the job, the value of the sheep was purchased with his own blood, the importance of the job, the Holy Spirit made you overseers, and then the third one was the whole. The job can't be done halfway or even partial. Every sheep, I think Peter mentioned that too, take heed to yourself and to the whole flock, yea, the whole flock. And even like you pointed out, John MacArthur running to help that one person, or the good shepherd who will leave the 99 and go for the one. We can't let, as elders, let anyone slip through the cracks. And that, to me, those three things just highlight the overwhelming, awesome responsibility.
Yes. Very good point, brother. Over decades of ministry, some sadly will slip through the cracks. But if they do, we'll probably weep, we'll be grieved if we have a shepherd's heart. But also, we need to be able to look back and say, you know, my conscience is clean before the Lord. In good conscience, I did everything I knew to do. I pursued them. I tried to rescue them. I admonished them. And so, but we will see some of them slip through the cracks for sure. Any other questions? Well, let's pray and then we'll have a break. Lord, we thank you for the simple reminder today that, Lord Jesus, you are the great shepherd. You're the good shepherd. Because you have redeemed a people from every tongue and tribe and nation in the earth. You purchased the church with your own blood. And you have been saving and adding to your church, the body of Christ, for thousands of years. And you'll continue to do so till the end when you return. So Lord, equip us more today to be biblical churches, biblical assemblies, who not only shepherd one another well with love and true fellowship and building one another up, but Lord, as elders, to shepherd the flock of God better, more faithfully. Lord, that ultimately you would present to yourself a bride that is holy and spotless without fault. Thank you for this time this morning. We bless you, Father. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.